3 days later, he came back to life. But what I want us to understand this morning is, what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with us? How does that affect our lives? If somebody died on a cross and came back to life, does that have any relevance in our lives today? Many of you have heard that Jesus died for your sins. And that's very true. That's very true. Jesus died for every one of your sins. But this morning, we are beginning a brand new series. We're going to be spending the next 6 weeks talking about Christ, our healer. That Jesus Christ is our healer. That he actually died to provide us with healing, spirit, soul, and body. And we have a little bit of a taste of this in John 10:10, where Jesus said these words, "I came that they," meaning us, "may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows." This is why Jesus came. So I don't know if you've ever heard the Easter story said like this. Jesus came so that you could enjoy your life. Jesus came so that you could enjoy the life that God has given you. And when Jesus rose from the dead and conquered the grave, this is what he did. He brought back everything that Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden. You remember the story? Adam and Eve were in the garden. They had the perfect life. They were surrounded by provision. They were surrounded by joy and peace. No work, just relaxation, provision all around them. And they did the one thing that God told them not to do. You ever been at home wrapping a gift for a loved one? And all of a sudden they come in the door? And you're sitting in the living room and they're walking in the front hall. And you're like, oh, don't look over here. Don't look in the living room. What do? They look. Why? It's human nature. We're curious. Oh, what am I going to miss out on? What is it that they know that I don't know? I want to know. Say, duck, heads up, something's coming your way. What does everybody do? They stretch their neck up in the air and look around. What did you want to tell me? It's human nature. There's something within us that somebody says, don't do this, and we instantly want to try it. God says, don't eat this one tree. Don't eat of it. Because in the day that you would eat it, you would actually die. So what do? They take a bite of the fruit. And because of that one decision, we have fallen humanity. We have a world filled with sin, problems, and troubles. And we have for a long, long, long time. So what did Jesus Christ do when he died on a cross for us? He brought us back to the Garden of Eden. Everything that Adam lost in the garden, Jesus got it back for us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is actually referred to as the last Adam, or the second Adam. Adam messed up, and we have this situation of this world. Jesus came back and he brought back everything that Adam lost. All of it was purchased for us on Calvary. If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, I ask you to open up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And the time that we spend together this morning, we are going to be looking at a word of prophecy that the Holy Spirit gave to a man named Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 53 gives us a picture before Jesus even died. It gave us a picture of why he died, what was happening on the cross. And for those of you who don't have Bibles, we'll have a verse up on the screen for you. But Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, and I'm going to read from a few different translations. This is a description of the cross. "Surely he," Jesus, "has borne our sickness and suffered our pain. We considered him stricken, smitten of God, and cast down. But he was wounded for our rebellions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was The punishment that brought our peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Young's literal translation says this: surely our sickness he has borne, and our pains he has carried them. And then at the end it says, by his bruises there is healing to us. New English translation says this: but he lifted up our illness, he carried our pains. And the last verse says, because of his wounds, we are healed. You look it up in several different translations and you'll read it again. Surely, 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 surely he has borne our sickness and carried our diseases, our pain. Surely, surely, surely. Do you think this is something that God is pretty sure about? Surely this is what it means that Jesus died on the cross. He lifted up your illness, your sickness. He carried your pain and your diseases. And yet thousands of years later, we have, as the church, argued over whether or not Jesus wants to heal us. And God said thousands of years ago through Isaiah, surely this is what Jesus is going to do on the cross. He's going to take your sickness and carry your disease on the cross. And we have in so many ways limited the cross to Jesus forgives you of your sins. And that's the primary thing. That is the number one thing that we are excited about as a church, is that we are forgiven. There is nothing that you have done that God cannot forgive because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But what we need to do is we need to understand that God sees sin and sickness in the same category. In the same category. Because what happened, God said, Adam, Eve, if you eat of this fruit, in that day, you will die. Now, they didn't die physically yet at that moment. What happened first was they died spiritually. They were separated in their relationship with God. But what happened was a slow process where they eventually led to physical death. Sickness came into the world because of Adam and Eve's sin. And so it only makes sense that Jesus at the cross took care of it for us. He took care of our sickness on the cross. But here's the thing. From our perspective, we have a pretty hard time believing this. And I bet everyone in this room could tell me why. Because we still experience sickness. We still get sick. There's still sickness around us. The cold comes, the flu comes, the fever comes, bones break. Things happen and we say, well, how could I say that Jesus bore my sickness if I experienced sickness? For the same reason that you can say Jesus bore your sin, and yet we still sin. Anybody become perfect when they gave their life to Jesus Christ and just, I mean, it was just easy for you to never make a mistake again? Absolutely not. Sin is still around, still in this earth, and yet we believe as a church, Jesus died for our sin. Sin has no power over us. And for that same reason, we need to understand that he took care of our sickness. Just because sickness is around doesn't mean that it has to be in our bodies. Just because it exists doesn't mean that we have to let it stay there, because Jesus bore your sickness for you. If we understand that sin and sickness are in the same category, it'll help us out. Let me ask you a question. Is it God's will that you sin? Is it God's will that we sin? Of course not. Why would God want us to sin? Why would God will that we disobey him? Of course not. That's a silly question, Pastor Tim. Of course God doesn't want us to sin. And yet, a lot of people think that it might be God's will for us to be sick. Well, Pastor Tim, maybe God's just trying to, you know, teach me a lesson. You know, we know that God doesn't want us to sin, because would you as a parent want your child to sin? Would you want your child to rebel? Have you ever said, boy, I can't wait till my son grows up into those rebellious years and he can learn all of the mistakes hands-on? Just learn for yourself. If experience was the best teacher, then you'd let your 5-year-old carve the turkey. Here you go, son. Here's the kitchen knife. We're gonna let you do this. And when you accidentally cut your finger off, just remember that Dad loves you and that he thought about this and he wanted you to learn firsthand how dangerous kitchen knives are. Nobody would do that. God wouldn't do that. God doesn't want us to sin. And yet we think, well, maybe God wants us to be sick so that we could learn a lesson. When was the last time you honestly wished that your child got sick to learn something? When was the last time you said, I wish my daughter would catch the cold so that she would finally learn to wear the proper winter coat? I wish they would get a cavity so that they would learn to brush their teeth. I wish that they would learn how to clean their ears. So I just hope that they get an ear infection. When was the last time you wished sickness upon your children? I really hope the answer is never. And it's the same for God. So we need to understand that God does not want us to be sick to teach us something. So we say, well, maybe God wants us to be sick because we've got sin in our lives. He needs to punish us. He needs to discipline us. After all, we discipline our kids. Isaiah chapter 53, he bore our iniquities for us. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus, which means God isn't going to punish you for your sins. Do you know that? God punished Jesus for your sins. And so to think that, well, there's sin in my life, so that's why I'm sick, God is judging me, then you forgot about Calvary, because God poured out all of his wrath on Jesus. All of the results of sin, everything poured on to Jesus Christ. And so the minute that we start to think, I'm experiencing this difficulty in my life because of some sin in my life, you've forgotten about Easter. You've forgotten about Calvary, because Jesus paid it all. And if Jesus didn't pay it all, we need to start changing the words to some of our hymns. We need to start singing, Jesus paid it some. Some to him I owe. My sin left a crimson stain and he made it, yellow? Off-white? He definitely improved upon the situation. You did good, Jesus. No, he paid it all. He paid for everything. He paid for everything. Listen, God is not a God who wants us to be sick. God is a God who has brought us healing. And what we need to understand, and I began on Friday, is talking about the reality that there are different covenants in the Bible, Old Covenant and a New Covenant. And we have a new covenant because of the fact that Jesus died and poured out his blood for us. We have a new covenant with God based upon the cross. And there was an old covenant that had certain blessings, certain promises, certain provision for the Israelites. And what is interesting about the old covenant is that God provided healing for the Israelites in the old covenant. There was a point in time, you read the story about it in the book of Numbers, when the Israelites were complaining against Moses and Aaron about their leadership. And it was kind of a daily occurrence where they really liked complaining about Moses and Aaron. If you've read the story, they just found something pretty much every day to complain about. And so this particular day, they were complaining against Moses and Aaron. And because of their complaints, a plague had come upon them, and people were dying by the thousands. Well, Pastor Tim, I thought you just said that God wouldn't do anything like that to us. Well, yeah, but the cross hadn't happened yet. The cross hadn't happened yet. And under the old covenant, when there was sin, judgment came. Jesus hadn't taken the judgment yet. And so there was a plague coming upon the people because of the people's sin. Literally, thousands of people were dying, wiping people out. So what do Moses and Aaron do? This is what Moses says to Aaron. Take an incense burner and place burning coals from the altar. Lay incense on it and carry it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. So the word atonement is referring to a means by which God would forgive the people's sins and extend grace to them. The word atonement is literally means to cover. It was a means by which sin was covered and grace is given. And so the atonement that we have in Jesus Christ, we refer to now. We have an atonement because of the blood of Jesus. So people have wondered, is healing in the atonement? Is healing available for us because Jesus died in the atonement? Well, under the old covenant, healing was in the atonement. Here we have, Aaron goes, he grabs an incense burner, he places some burning coals on it, he sprinkles some incense on it, and he runs into the midst of these people who are dying by the thousands. They are dropping like flies. And as soon as Aaron gets into the midst of the people, instantly everybody stops dying. Instantly the people are preserved from the plague. Why? Because he made atonement for them. And the atonement in the Old Testament was a means by which offerings and sacrifices were made, blood was spilled, and therefore God would forgive the people. So the question that we have to deal with this morning is, if healing was available in the Old Covenant, why wouldn't healing be available in the New Covenant? If God provided a way to heal people before the cross, did the cross improve upon the Old Covenant? The book of Hebrews says that we have a new covenant that is built and established upon better promises. So, if we don't believe that healing is provided, then we actually believe that Jesus gave us a lesser covenant than the Israelites had. If we're not sure if God has physical healing available for us today, then we think that Jesus kind of downgraded us. Could you imagine? Could you imagine saying, we're going to give you a promotion, but your salary is going to be a little bit less and you're going to lose your benefits package? You'd be like, what kind of a promotion is this? Oh, but you're going to get, you know, a new office and you're going to have a window, but no more benefits, no more dental benefits, no more health care, lower salary, but you're getting promoted. If the new covenant based upon the cross of Jesus Christ is a better covenant, then we have to have everything that they had and more. And in the old covenant, healing was provided for the people. And so we have it today for us in the new covenant. In the New Testament, we have in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter makes this statement, echoing the words of Isaiah, by his stripes, you were healed. What's the difference? Isaiah said, by his stripes, you are healed. Peter said, by his stripes, you were healed. What's the difference? Well, Isaiah was speaking prophetically of a future moment at the cross, and he was saying, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Healing is provided. Peter is looking back at the cross and saying, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You actually were healed by Jesus bearing your punishment for your sin. You were healed. Past tense. And so when you say, I am sick, I'm going to ask you, well, what does the Bible say about that? It says that you were healed. So take the were healed past tense and let that overcome your am sick. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of Jerry Savelle. He's a traveling preacher from Shreveport, Louisiana. And I never forget hearing the first time that he told the story about his little girl, Terry, who was about 10 to 13 months old, when they were in a church service. And in the middle of the service, they heard a blood-curdling scream from the nursery down the hall. And the nursery attendant rushed in. They were holding Jerry's daughter, Terry, in her arms, and her fingers were covered in blood, bleeding all over her. The nursery attendant was on a rocking chair and had rocked over her fingers, severing them right here and here. These two fingers lost both of the tips right at the first joint. The blood was covering. They couldn't see at first until they went to the washroom to wash it off. And the nursery attendant walked into the washroom where Jerry was washing Terry's hands, and she handed him her fingertips, which she found on the floor of the nursery. You might be here this morning and you might be thinking, Pastor Tim, it's Resurrection Sunday. Why are we talking about healing? Is this really important? If you were in Jerry Savelle's situation, this is the only message you would have wanted to hear. Holding your child's fingertips in one hand and her in your other arm. So right there in the bathroom, Jerry Savelle set his 10-month, 13-month-old daughter down on the counter and picked up his Bible and began to read every scripture out of the Bible that he could think of about the healing power of God. He began to pray, he began to worship, and he stated, God will restore my daughter's fingers. God will restore my daughter's fingers. They packed up, they went to the hospital to see the doctor. The doctor was examining the fingers, and he said, too much time has passed. We're not going to be able to sew them back on. And Jerry Savelle watched as the doctor threw his daughter's fingertips in the garbage. And they said, well, we'll be able to take some skin off of her hip, and we'll be able to cover it and bandage it up, and it'll heal, but she'll never be able to have normal fingers again. There'll be no fingertips. They'll be shorter. And Jerry looked at the doctor and said, well, I appreciate what you're going to do, but I just want to let you know what my God's going to do. He's going to restore my daughter's fingers. And the doctor went over to his wife, Carolyn, and said, ma'am, I believe your husband's in shock. I just told him that there's nothing that we can do, and he has this strange idea that God's going to restore her fingers, grow her fingers back. And she said, oh, no, he's thinking clearly. That's exactly what we believe. God's going to restore our daughter's fingers. So you just go ahead and do what you need to do. As the doctor, we appreciate your professional opinion of the matter, but we have faith in our God. So they bandaged up her fingers, and they went home, and he said, 6 weeks later, you can come back, and we'll take a look and see how things are progressing. So 6 weeks went by, and Jerry said, we did absolutely nothing but read the Word of God and pray for 6 weeks. We didn't turn on the television. We didn't open a newspaper. We read the Word of God. We prayed, and we believed that God was going to restore our daughter's fingers. 6 weeks go by. They go back to the doctor. The doctor's taking off the bandages and sees Terry's hands, and he screams, my God. And they all saw four perfect fingers, nails and all, perfect length. And Jerry said, no, sir, my God. My God. You say, well, Pastor Tim, those are just fingertips. They don't really matter. They matter to God. Listen, we need to understand that God loves us more than we love our children. How much do you love your children? How much are your children's fingertips important to you? Everything about them is important to you. God loves you more than that. He wants to provide everything that you need for this life on this earth. God doesn't just want to forgive us of our sins. He wants to heal us of arthritis. He wants to set you free from back pain, asthma, allergies. He wants to see cancer shrivel and die in Jesus' name. God is not interested in you being sick another day in your life. He's just not. Somebody asks, well, why? Why does God want to heal? Let me give you five reasons. And I really encourage you to write these down. Five reasons why God wants to heal you. Number one, because he loves you. And if there was no other reason, that would be enough. Why does God want to... What? You'd say, well, you know, Pastor Tim, I just have a cold. I just have a cough. I just have the flu. It'll pass. God wants to heal you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. Number two, because he wants to prove himself to you. He loves proving himself to his people. The word of God says that he confirmed the word of God with signs following in the ministry of the church. Everywhere that the word was spoken, signs and wonders happened. People were healed. Miracles happened. He wants to prove himself to you. Third reason, because he said he would. We wouldn't be able to get home for dinner, let alone lunch, if we spent all the time that there is reading through the Bible verses on healing. We wouldn't be able to make it home. We'd be here till next Sunday. God wants to heal you because he said he would. Number four, because he's got work for you to do and he needs you healthy to do it. How many times has sickness limited you from doing something that you felt you were supposed to do? And it could be the simplest thing. You had a list of things to accomplish on your day, and sickness made it impossible for you to do those things. God wants you healthy because he has a calling on your life. He's got things for you to do. And guess what? Your back pain's in the way. He needs it strong and healthy. He needs you functioning at 100%. He needs your hearing functioning at 100%. He needs your eyesight strong. He needs your kneecap strong. He can't have you spending weeks upon weeks in the hospital recovering. He needs you strong to accomplish the work. And the fifth reason that God wants to heal you is because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die the most painful, humiliating death so that you could experience life. If Jesus died for our sickness, why would we want to endure it? If Jesus took something from you, why would you want to say, no, that's mine? These are my allergies. This is who I am. Why would you want that if Jesus went through hell, literally, to take it for you? Why would you want to hang on to that? God wants to heal you. And I'm going to be saying it from the top of my lungs. As long as we gather as a church, we need to understand that we believe in a God who heals. And you might have experienced disappointment. You might have experienced times where you felt, well, God didn't heal, therefore, I no longer believe. Well, guess what? We believe that God forgives, and yet again, we sin. It's the same problem. So don't stop believing just because you've experienced some bad things in life. Keep believing that God wants to see you strong so that you can run your race with excellence. God's got a calling on each and every one of your lives. You know that? He has something specific for you to do. And the enemy, his name's the devil, wants nothing more than to rob you of that by keeping you bogged down by pain in your back, sickness throughout your life. God's got a plan for you, and he needs you strong to finish it. Let me pray for you this morning. God in heaven, we worship you as a God who delights in giving us a new start, a God who came to take away sin, sickness, and death so that we could have grace, health, and life. God, we thank you for a fresh start in our lives, and we just commit ourselves unto you. We desire to be faithful to your word, no matter what experiences we may have had. And God, I just pray your blessing right now upon us who gather this morning, that you would encourage our hearts to understand what it means that you became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on to the front. And we have an exciting